بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء المرسلين مولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said in a very remarkable hadith: الفتنة النائمة لعن الله من عيفظها. Fitna, strife, is asleep. And may the curse of Allah be upon that person who wakes it up. Fitna is in slumber. And may he be cursed who rattles its cage. Because the very nature of fitna is that it engulfs entire societies. It destroys individuals, nations, civilizations. History is a witness to the fact that no nation declined besides the fact that it had eternal fitna. That every single ummah, that every single civilization which declined, it was afflicted with fitna. And today I want to speak about the first fitna which afflicted this ummah. But before I speak about this fitna, let me speak about the history of fitna and this ummah. Imam Bukhari has related in his Sahih that upon occasion Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, he was addressing the Sahaba radiallahu ajma'een, and he asked them, who is the most knowledgeable from amongst you regarding the fitan? And Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu jumped up and he said, me, O Amir al-Mu'mineen. And then he began to mention certain fitnas. And Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu said, it's not these fitnas I want to know about, but is that fitna tamujuka mawjul bahr, that fitna which the waves will be like the waves of the ocean. And Urayba radiallahu anhu asked Amir al-Mu'mineen, why do you want to know about that fitna? Between you and that fitna there is a closed door. And Umar radiallahu anhu asked, will that door be opened or will it be broken? And Hudhayfa replied, it will be broken. And Umar radiallahu anhu said that it will not be closed until the day of judgment. And Abu Wail, the narrator, mentions that we asked Hudhayfa, did Umar ibn Khattab know who that door was? And Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu says, I swear by Allah, Umar knew who that door was, like he knew that the night preceded the day. And then Abu Wail says, we asked Masruq to ask Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, who was that door? And Masruq asked Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, who was that door? And Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu replied, that door was Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. That as long as Umar ibn Khattab lived, Allah protected this ummah from any major fitna. And this is why the narration mentioned that he said, will it be open or will it be broken? And Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu said it would be broken, meaning that he would become shaheed. And as long as Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu lived, Allah protected this ummah from any major fitna. And the first fitna to afflict this ummah was the barbaric murder of the person who had the honor of having two of the daughters of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in his wedlock. Shah Waliullah rahmatullah alayhi mentioned that no man in the history of humanity other than this man had two daughters of any Prophet in his wedlock. And when after the second daughter passed away, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that if I had 40 daughters, each one of them passed away, I would give him the next. He was a man who bought the well of rumor. He was a man who bought the portion of Masjid Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and extended it. He was a man, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw his generosity, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whatever you do after this day, nothing will harm you. He was a man, regarding the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that this is a man that even the angels have haya from. Even the angels have haya from. He was a man regarding who the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لِكُلِّ نَبِيٍ رَفِيقٌ يَعْنِي فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَرَفِيقِ عُثْمَانِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that each and every Prophet will have a companion in Jannah, and my companion will be Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu. And it is the murder, the shahada of Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu that I want to speak about today. Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu mentions, أول الفتن
قتل عثمان وآخر الفتن خروج الدجال.
That the first fitna to afflict this ummah was the murder of Uthman ibn Affan. And the final fitna will be the coming of Dajjal. The first fitna to afflict this ummah was the martyrdom of Uthman ibn Affan. And the final fitna will be the emergence of Dajjal. And let me tell you a bit about the background of this fitna. There was a Jew called Abdullah ibn Sabah who embraced Islam with the intention of subverting Islam. This was his intention, to cause chaos and destruction. And what Abdullah ibn Sabah would do, he would go around to different places. First he came to Medina, and he said that the Khilafah belonged to Ali radiallahu anhu, and it was usurped by Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman radiallahu anhu. And the first person who stood up against him was no other than Ali radiallahu anhu. And he was booted out of Medina. But he was a Jew, he wanted to cause destruction, strife. And he would go from one place to the other. And he would say that the Khilafah was usurped. The Khilafah belonged to Ali radiallahu anhu. And he would say things like, if Isa alayhi salatu wasalam is going to come back, then why is not the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam going to come back, although the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is greater than Isa alayhi salatu wasalam? And see, if you look into the history of Islam, those who have caused Islam the most damage are those munafiqs, those hypocrites who wear the garment of Islam, but their loyalties lie somewhere else. Their loyalties lie somewhere else. You look throughout the history of Islam, that those who have caused the major chaos to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were not apparent enemies, but they were the enemies within. And when Abdullah ibn Sabah went around and he managed to get a group of people, Muawiyah radiallahu anhu became very concerned, and he knew that this fitna was getting momentum. And he went to Uthman radiallahu anhu and he said, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, come to Sham and I will protect you. Because all the armies were at the frontier. They were at the frontier. No army was in Medina or Makkah. And Uthman radiallahu anhu said, Oh Muawiyah, you want to take me away from where the body of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam lies? I swear by Allah, I will not leave Medina until my head is removed. Because his immense love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, although the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had passed away. Then Muawiyah said, let me send you an army which will protect you. And Uthman radiallahu anhu said, no, I do not want to inconvenience the people of Medina by having a large army in Medina. This is a man whose life is in danger, but he's not concerned about himself. He's concerned about the subject. And you compare his state to our leaders today, that they will massacre millions if their kursi is in the slightest danger. And then Muawiyah radiallahu anhu became angry. And he said, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, don't you know that these people will attack you and they will try to kill you? And listen to the words of Uthman radiallahu anhu. He said, Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. He said, Allah is sufficient for me. Listen to every single one of his answers. The first, that his love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wouldn't allow him to leave Medina. The second was that he was more concerned about his subjects than himself. And the third was that he had full faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, he went back to Sham because he was the governor of Sham. And shortly after this, when it was the time for Hajj, a group of the rebels, they wore the ihram pretending that they were going to perform a Hajj. And they said that they were going to the Rawdah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but their intention was something else. And the news reached Uthman radiallahu anhu. And Uthman radiallahu anhu, he ascended the pulpit. And he said, oh people, the news has reached me that some rebels are marching on Medina. And the Sahaba said, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, don't worry, when they come, we'll sort them out. And Uthman radiallahu anhu said, no. When they come, we will explain the truth to them. If they want to accept, alhamdulillah. And upon occasion, Uthman radiallahu anhu was in the masjid. And these rebels came in. And they stood up. And they began to object from Uthman radiallahu anhu. The first of their objections was that, oh Uthman, you are a mubtadi, you are a bidati. So this this thing about bidati and you are a mubtada is nothing new. It's from the time of Uthman radiallahu anhu. You know, many of those people who speak about bidah and call other people mubtada, you ask them, define a bidah for us. What is a bidah? I guarantee you, 99.9% of them have no consistent, comprehensive definition of bidah. And they stood up and they said, oh Uthman, you are a bidati. Because when you came for Hajj and you came to Mina, and you, instead of performing two rakats, you performed four rakats. Although we saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam perform two rakats, we saw Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu perform two rakats, we saw Umar perform two rakats. And Uthman radiallahu anhu said, I have a wife which lived in Mina, so I am not a traveler, I'm a resident, and therefore I prayed four rakats. And he turned around to the Sahaba and he said, is it so? And they said, Allahumma na'am. He said, indeed it is so. They said, oh Uthman, you took the land around Medina for yourself and for your camels to graze. And you used the property of the believers for your personal use. And Uthman radiallahu anhu said, he said, before I became the Khalifa, there was no Arab who had more camels than I had. And today, I only have two camels. And he turned to the Sahaba, and he said, isn't it so? And they said, Allahumma na'am, indeed it is so. See, these were people who really didn't know the virtues of Uthman. Because if they knew the virtues of Uthman, they would have never come to Medina. Uthman radiallahu anhu, on the battle of Tabuk, this was a battle when the believers had to face the great Roman Empire. And this is a battle where Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he brought everything that he had. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, Abu Bakr, what have you left at home? And he said, I have left the name of Allah and His Rasul at home. When the Sahaba had given everything they had, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam addressing the Sahaba, he said, who can give more? And nobody stood up, and Uthman radiallahu anhu stood up. And he said, O Messenger of Allah, I give 300 camels laden with food. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, who else can give more? And nobody else stood up. And Uthman radiallahu anhu stood up again. And he said, O Messenger of Allah, I would give another 300 camels laden with food. And then the Prophet ﷺ asked again, who will give more? And nobody stood up. And then Uthman radiallahu anhu stood up again. And he said, I will give another 300 camels laden with food. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, who will give more? And nobody stood up. And Uthman radiallahu anhu stood up and he went home. And he bought a sack full of coins. And these coins were equivalent to the 900 camels that he had given with laden with food. And the Prophet ﷺ took these dirhams and he had them rubbing in his finger. And he said, oh Uthman, after today, whatever you do, nothing will harm you. In the eyes of Allah, whatever you do, nothing will harm you. They said, oh Uthman, the Quran was in many dialects and you brought it into one. See, when Islam spread far and wide and non-Muslims began to embrace Islam, although the Quran had different dialects, the Arabs understood that it had one meaning. But when the non-Arabs started reading the Quran, they thought it was different Qurans. And therefore Uthman radiallahu anhu commanded all his governors to make it into the dialect of the Quraysh. And Uthman radiallahu anhu replied to them, he said, Allah is one and His book is one. And he turned to the Sahaba and he said, isn't it so? And they said, indeed. They said, oh Uthman, you gave priority to the young over the old. You made the young the leaders over the old. And Uthman radiallahu anhu turned around and he said, didn't the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam make Osama bin Zayd the leader over an army in which Abu Bakr, Umar and Uthman and many other eminent Sahaba were? And he turned to the Sahaba and he said, wasn't it so? And they said, Allahumma na'am. They said, Uthman, you loved your family. And Uthman radiallahu anhu said, indeed I love my family, but I swear by Allah, I have never fed any of them from the wealth of the believers. I have never fed myself since I have become the Khalifa from the wealth of the believers. And he turned round to the Sahaba and he said, isn't it so? And they said, Allahumma na'am, indeed it is so. Every single objection they had, he rebuffed it. And when they were returning, see, there's always two groups of people.
When there's a fitna, they are the leaders and they are the innocent subjects. And when they were going back, a group of the leaders, they forged a letter from Uthman radiallahu anhu to the governor of Egypt, that when these people reach Egypt, kill them. And they pretended that they intercepted this letter. And they forged another letter from Ali radiallahu anhu. And when the rebels read this letter, they believed that this letter was from Uthman radiallahu anhu, although it was forged by their leaders. And they went back, and the first person they went to, Ali radiallahu anhu. And then they said, "Oh Ali, you sent us this letter." And Ali radiallahu anhu said, "I sent you no letter." But by now they had convinced themselves, because their hearts had become blackened with hate. And they besieged the house of Uthman radiallahu anhu. And the first thing they did was they stopped water coming from the house, access of water to the house of Uthman radiallahu anhu. And the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ummu Habiba radiallahu anha, she came on a mule. And what these rebels did is when she came to the close to the house of Uthman radiallahu anhu, they cut the rope and the water fell and they made this mule run, and as a consequence the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ummu Habiba radiallahu anha, fell off the mule. And Ammar ibn Yasir radiallahu anhu came out and he said, "O rebels, atamna'un al-ma amman ishtara bi'ra ruma?" He said, "Are you stopping water from that very person who bought the well of Ruma?" See, for years the only source of clean water for the believers was the well of Ruma. And it was a well which Uthman radiallahu anhu purchased and he donated it to the believers. And Uthman radiallahu anhu, when they besieged his house, he would come out and he would say, "Do you stop water from me, although there was a time I gave water to each one of you?" And it would be no exaggeration to say that there was a time when Uthman radiallahu anhu gave water to the entire ummah, because the entire ummah was the people of Medina. And then they stopped him from playing salah in the masjid. And Uthman radiallahu anhu would come out and he would say, "Do you stop me from praying salah in the masjid which I bought and I extended?" And one after the other, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum would come. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the likes of Hassan, Hussein, Abdullah ibn Umar, Abu Huraira, Abdullah ibn Salam, Abdullah ibn Zubayr radiallahu anhum, they would all come. And they will say, "Oh Amir al-Mu'mineen, let us fight on your behalf. Let us fight on your behalf. For we are those people who were smaller in number and defeated far greater armies than this." They will say, "Oh Amir al-Mu'mineen, let us become the Ansarullah again. For once we fought for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, now let us fight for you." And Uthman radiallahu anhu would say, "Whoever believes that I am the Amir, whoever believes that I am the Amir, they should go back. For I give nobody permission to fight on my behalf." And the Sahaba radiallahu anhum understood the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that it was an obligation to obey the Amir. And what the Sahaba radiallahu anhum would do, they would go to the outskirts of the house of Uthman radiallahu anhum, and they would take out their swords and they would protect Uthman radiallahu anhum from the outskirts of his house. And the rebels, they would taunt him. One rebel, he came to Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he said, "Oh Abdullah, what kind of man are you protecting? Are you protecting this man? Isn't it true that he did not participate in the battle of Badr? Isn't it true that he ran away on the battle of Uhud? Isn't it true that he did not give bayah to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam under the tree?" And on each occasion, Abdullah ibn Umar said, "Yes, it is true." So this rebel said, "Allahu Akbar, I told you he's a no good person. Why are you protecting such a man?" And Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu told the man, "Come close to my brother, let me explain something to you. The reason that he did not attend the battle of Badr was that he was married to the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ruqayyah radiallahu anhu, and she became very ill. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "O Uthman, remain behind and look after Ruqayyah, for we will regard you as one of the participants of the battle of Badr." And the day that we won the battle of Badr, we returned to Medina, and Uthman radiallahu anhu was burying the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as for the battle of Uhud, he wasn't the only one who left the field. There were many Sahaba. When the news spread that the Prophet ﷺ had passed away, there was only a handful of Sahaba radiallahu anhum around the Prophet ﷺ. He wasn't the only one. And Allah says regarding these people, لَقَدْ عَفَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ, that Allah has forgiven these people. If Allah has forgiven him, aren't you ready to forgive him? And as far as the Bayatul Ridwan, to give the pledge on the hand of the Prophet ﷺ, the reason the bayat was given was for Uthman radiallahu anhu. When the Prophet ﷺ sent Uthman radiallahu anhu as an ambassador on behalf of the Muslims, and the rumor spread that Uthman radiallahu anhu had been killed, and the Prophet ﷺ took bayah from 1400 Sahaba, who Allah defined that Allah is pleased from, so they could take revenge for who? No other than Uthman radiallahu anhu. 1400 Sahaba. And then the Prophet ﷺ took one hand, and he said the other hand was the hand of Uthman radiallahu anhu. And Abdullah ibn Umar said that we became envious of Uthman radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet ﷺ utilized his own hand to define the hand of Uthman radiallahu anhu. But see, these were the clowns that these people had brought. They had brought these people who knew nothing about the virtues of Uthman because they came from a faraway land. They knew nothing about the virtues of Uthman radiallahu anhu. Is that when the rebels would shoot the arrows, the first people who these arrows would hit were the likes of Hassan radiallahu anhu, Hussein radiallahu anhu. It is said regarding Abdullah ibn Zubayr radiallahu anhu, he had over 40 wounds in protecting Uthman radiallahu anhu. It is said regarding Hassan radiallahu anhu, the beloved grandson of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that in protecting Uthman ibn Affan, his entire body was covered with blood. So why wouldn't Uthman radiallahu anhu allow these people to protect him? Why wouldn't he allow them to fight on his behalf? The reason is mentioned by Imam Ahmad in his Musnad. Aisha radiallahu anha mentioned, upon occasion the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Oh Aisha, call me a certain Sahabi." And I thought it was Abu Bakr, and I said, "My father, O Messenger of Allah." He said, "No." I said, "Umar." He said, "No." I said, "Your cousin Ali radiallahu anhu." He said, "No." I said, "Uthman." And the Prophet ﷺ said, "Yes, call me Uthman." And we sent for Uthman. And when Uthman radiallahu anhu came, the Prophet ﷺ embraced him. And Aisha radiallahu anha says that I was watching from a distance, and the face of Uthman radiallahu anhu began to change. His face was changing. The Prophet ﷺ was speaking to him about something. And the day his house was besieged, we said, "O Amirul Mu'mineen, ala nuqatil?" We said, "Shall we not fight on your behalf?" And he said, "No. The Prophet ﷺ took a covenant from me, and I will do sabr upon the covenant of the Prophet ﷺ." For these people, death was easier than to go against the word that they gave to the Prophet ﷺ. He said, "I will do sabr. I will do sabr upon the covenant which I gave to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." And the house of Uthman radiallahu anhu, it was besieged for 40 days. And for 40 days Uthman radiallahu anhu would fast during the day, and he would pray salah during the night. And upon the 40th night, Uthman radiallahu anhu, he saw in a dream, he saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Ya Uthman, aftir indana ghadan." He said, "Oh Uthman, the fast that you have been keeping for 40 days, tomorrow you open your fast with us." And when Uthman radiallahu anhu woke up, his wife Anayla radiallahu anha mentioned that he was in an elated mood, he was in a happy mood. And the first thing he did, he went out and he spoke to the guard and he said, "Unshiduka billah." He said, "I ask you before the sake of Allah, do not shed anybody's blood on my behalf." And then he took the Quran and he began to recite the Quran. And one of the rebels, they jumped over the wall. And his uncle came and he grabbed the beard of Uthman radiallahu anhu. And Uthman radiallahu anhu calmly said, "Da' lihyati, kana abuka yukrimuha." He said, "Leave my beard, because indeed your father used to honor this beard." And the rebel, his hands clasped, because he remembered not how only his father honored, but how the Prophet ﷺ and how everybody else honored Uthman radiallahu anhu. And when he heard these words, he left. And then two other Egyptians, they jumped over the wall. And they knew no virtues of Uthman. They didn't know what Uthman was. And when Uthman radiallahu anhu saw them coming, this was a man whose life is at stake. But the first thing he did, he tied his sarwal, he tied his trousers. Because he was a man of haya, he didn't want his aura to be exposed in his final moments. Upon occasion, the Prophet ﷺ was sitting and a portion of his leg was exposed. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came in and the Prophet ﷺ didn't move. And then Umar radiallahu anhu came and the Prophet ﷺ didn't move. And when Uthman radiallahu anhu came, the Prophet ﷺ quickly put his clothes straight. And Aisha radiallahu anhu asked, "Said my father came in, a messenger of Allah, you didn't change your position. Umar came in, you didn't change your position. But when Uthman came in, you changed your position." And the Prophet ﷺ said, "Should I not have haya from the man that even the angels have haya from? Shouldn't I have haya from the man who even the angels have haya from?" And then these rebels, they came and they struck Uthman radiallahu anhu on the head with a piece of iron. And the blood began to pour from the head of Uthman radiallahu anhu. And the first place where the blood fell was on the Quran. And where on the Quran? On the verse, "Sayakfikahumullah," that Allah will suffice you against them. Allah will suffice you against them. And then one of them was about to strike him with a sword. And Uthman radiallahu anhu placed his hand high to protect himself. And he cut the hand of Uthman radiallahu anhu. And Uthman radiallahu anhu, "Wallahi, innaha la'awwalu yadin katabat al-Qur'an." Then I swear by Allah, the hand that you have just cut off, it was the first hand to write the Qur'an. And then he recited the ayah, "Qala lahum nasu, inna an-nasa qad jama'u lakum fakhshawhum fazadahum imana." وَقَالُوا حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. He recited the verse that people say to them, that the people have gathered against you, so fear them. But they don't fear them, but nothing happens besides the fact that the iman increases. And they say, "حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ." And they say that Allah is sufficient for us, and Allah is the best dealer with affairs. And then they placed the sword on the stomach of Uthman radiallahu anhu, and his wife, she came running. And she placed her hand between the sword and they cut off the finger of his wife. And then they pierced the stomach of Uthman radiallahu anhu. And after Uthman radiallahu anhu, an 82-year-old man had passed away, one of the rebels, he jumped onto the chest of Uthman radiallahu anhu. And he stabbed him 6 times. And he would say later, "I stabbed him 3 times for the sake of Allah and 3 times for myself." And then they dragged the body of Uthman radiallahu anhu to the rubbish tip. And his wife Naila radiallahu anha mentioned that his face was covered with blood. And I went into the house to find if there was anything I could cover his face with. But they had burnt everything. And then I took off my scarf and I placed it on his head. I placed it over his face. And all of a sudden I saw a person running in. And he came in hurriedly, and I saw that this man would maybe assist us. And he removed the cloth from the man who had passed away, who was the son-in-law of the Prophet ﷺ twice over. And he removed the cloth and he slapped him upon his face. And the rebels were saying, "No man can bury Uthman radiallahu anhu." And the wife of the Prophet ﷺ, Umm Habiba radiallahu anha, she climbed onto the stairs of the Masjid Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and she said, "Oh rebels, no, if you do not allow us to bury Uthman radiallahu anhu, then I, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I, the widow of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I, the beloved of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I, the mother of the believers, will descend into the streets of Medina with my hair uncovered, and I will bury Uthman myself." She knew that no rebel would stand in front of the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Ka'b ibn Malik radiallahu anhu mentioned that, "I swear by Allah, if Habiba radiallahu anha had descended into the streets of Medina with her hair uncovered, then Allah would have rained rocks from the sky. Allah would have rained rocks from the sky. And when the rebels heard the threat of the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they allowed the body of Uthman radiallahu anhu to be buried by four people: Hassan radiallahu anhu, Husayn, Ali radiallahu anhu, and Muhammad ibn Talha. And when they were taking the body of Uthman radiallahu anhu to have it buried, the rebels began to throw rocks. They began to throw rocks at the body of Uthman radiallahu anhu. And then they wanted to bury him in Jannatul Baqi, but the rebels insisted that he be buried outside Jannatul Baqi, although today his body is inside Jannatul Baqi. And a famous tabi'een called Amrata bin Arsa radiallahu anha mentions that when me and Aisha radiallahu anha came back from Hajj, we saw the Quran upon which the blood of Uthman had fell. And they say that this Quran, you can find it today in the Top Kapi Museum. She says, I saw this Quran and I saw the blood over the ayah, سَيَكْفِيكَهُمُ اللَّهِ, that Allah will be sufficient for you against them. And she swears by Allah that each one of these rebels died a disastrous death. Every single one of these rebels died a terrible death. Upon occasion, Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahmatullah alayh was doing tawaf around the Kaaba, and he saw a person holding onto the Kaaba, and he was saying, "Oh Allah, forgive me! Oh Allah, forgive me! But I swear that you will not forgive me." And Abdullah ibn Mubarak was astonished by this person's dua, and he said, "Who are you?" And he said, "I am that person who struck the head of Uthman radiallahu anhu with an iron rod. And see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has disfigured my hand." And Abdullah ibn Mubarak kicked him. And he said, "Go away, for you are the worst of people." Abu Musa Ashari radiallahu anhu mentions that I came back from Sham, and I saw a group of people outside the masjid around a person whose hands were disfigured and whose feet were disfigured. And when I came close to this man, he said, "Oh Abu Musa Ashari, go away." And I thought, how did this man know me? And he said, "You may not know me, but I know you." He said, "I am the man who pierced Uthman radiallahu anhu with a knife. And Uthman cursed me. And look at my hands and look at my feet." See, the ill consequences of the death of Uthman radiallahu anhu were such that Hassan radiallahu anhu mentioned that I saw my grandfather, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in a dream. And he was standing by the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was standing by the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he looked worried. And this was the first time that I ever saw him in a dream looking worried. And then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came behind him. And he placed his hand upon the shoulder of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then Umar radiallahu anhu came behind him, and he placed his hand upon the shoulder of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And this was the day that Uthman radiallahu anhu passed away. And shortly after this, that Uthman radiallahu anhu came, and his face was full of blood, and his head was in his hands, and he said, "Oh Messenger of Allah, ask these people, for what sin did they butcher me like a cow?" And Hassan radiallahu anhu says that when Uthman radiallahu anhu said this, the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala began to shake. And two streams of blood came down from the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a voice came out from the unseen. He said, "Until today, no believer has taken the life of a believer. After today, until the day of judgment, believers will take the life of other believers. Because the life of a believer is more sacred than the dunya." Understand this. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Lazawalu dunya ahwanu ala Allah min qatl imra'in muslimin." That the destruction of the entire dunya is lighter in the eyes of Allah than the taking the life of one single believer. That the life of one believer is more honorable in the eyes of Allah than the entire dunya. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu mentions, and upon occasion I was with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Oh Abu Hurairah, do you have anything to eat?" And I said, "Oh Messenger of Allah, I have only one date. One date." And the Prophet said, "Bring that date." And that date was in a pouch. And the Prophet supplicated upon that. And he told me, "Oh Abu Hurairah, whatever you want to eat, eat from this date." And the Prophet called 10 people, and they ate to their full until they were satiated. Then he called another 10 people, and they ate until they were satiated. And then the Prophet called 10 and 12. And they all ate from that one date. And Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu mentions that throughout the life of the Prophet I ate from that pouch. That one date, because of the dua of the Prophet had so much barakah. And throughout all the khilaf of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, I ate from that one date, from that pouch, and it didn't finish. And through the khilaf of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, I ate from that pouch. And the day that Uthman radiallahu anhu passed away, that was the day that the dates finished from that pouch. Because the murder of Uthman radiallahu anhu, as a consequence, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removed many barakat from this dunya. And I go back to the words of Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, "Awwal al-fitan, qatlu Uthman, wa akhir al-fitan, khuruj al-dajjal." He said that the first fitna to afflict this ummah is the murder of Uthman ibn Affan. And the final fitna will be the emergence of Dajjal. And then he said, whoever is happy with the murder of Uthman, then if he finds Dajjal, he will follow him. And if he dies before Dajjal, he will believe in him, in his grace. That anybody who is happy over the murder of Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, that if he finds Dajjal when he's alive, he will believe, he will take iman in Dajjal. These are not my words, these are the words of Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu. And Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu was that sahabi who was the secret keeper of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He knew all the secrets. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would tell him all the secrets. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him a list of all the manafiqs. No other sahabi knew more about the signs of the Day of Judgment than Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu. And he's saying that if anybody dies and he's happy with the murder of Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, if he dies, then he will believe in Dajjal in his grave. And if he's alive, then when Dajjal comes, he will take iman on Dajjal. He will take belief on Dajjal. See, on the Day of Judgment, many shuhada will come. Many martyrs will come. For some martyrs, Afghanistan will give a witness. For some martyrs, Palestine will give a witness. For some martyrs, Kashmir will give a witness. For some martyrs, Iraq will give a witness. For some martyrs, the Battle of Uhud will give a witness. For some martyrs, the Field of Qadisiyah will give a witness. For some martyrs, the Battle of Badr will give witness. For Uthman ibn Affan, the Book of Allah, the Quran, will give a witness. Because he passed away in front of the Quran. For Uthman ibn Affan, nothing else other than the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give witness. And therefore, my dear respected brothers, it is very important that we teach our children. Every single person here knows 10th of Muharram. Every single person here knows that the 10th of Muharram was when who passed away? Hussein radiallahu anhu was murdered. But how many people know when Uthman radiallahu anhu passed away? We say that Uthman, Hussein radiallahu anhu, was deprived of water for 3 days. But Uthman radiallahu anhu was deprived of water for 40 days. But the thing is that we do anything other than inculcate the love of Allah and His Rasul in the heart of our youngsters. And this is a reality. Because the first problem is that those who are fathers or elder brothers know nothing about the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the life of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. So how are they going to disseminate any knowledge to their children? We inculcate in our children the love for everything else other than the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We instill in our children. The love for the tweenies, the love for the Teletubbies, the love for Beckham and his missus and everything else. But if there's one thing that we don't instill in our children, is the love for Allah and His Rasul. If there's one thing that we don't instill in our children, are those who were the pillars of Islam, the Sahaba radhiyallahu ajma'in. We are ever indebted to the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum, because they were the ones who carried the message of Islam. They're the ones who spread the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But I tell you, the reality, you ask your children, you ask your little children, the name of the Teletubbies, they'll rattle them off. Ask them the name of the false Khulafa, none of them will know. Why? Because we have instilled in them the love of everything other than the message of Allah and the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. Because the reality is that we have our priorities wrong. And therefore first we need to learn about the life of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then we need to, instead of telling our children before they go to sleep about Cinderella, about Beauty and the Beast, we need to tell them about stories about the Sahaba, stories about Abdullah ibn Zubayr and what a child he was and how he revolutionized the dunya because of his bravery. We need to tell them about Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi, how he revolutionized the dunya through his knowledge. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us people who follow the precepts of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us united in this dunya. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reunite us in Jannatul Firdaws. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika.